Hi, this is Chelsea. Before we start today's episode, I'd like to explain how it's going to work. There are going to be two ad breaks, which I know is a departure from our usual format. I sincerely appreciate your patience and willingness to listen, because these sponsors are making indie podcasting possible with their support. This is the first of a two-part season finale. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Jurors were sent to deliberations in the salacious trial of Samantha Hall, nicknamed Fed Fatale in the tabloids.
Charged with first-degree murder, an arguably risky charge given that the victim, Troy Singer, died of injury during a lone sex act.
Your verdict should not be influenced by feelings of prejudice, bias, or sympathy. Your verdict must be based on the evidence.
Samantha Hall faces a murder conviction in the death of Troy Singer, her submissive lover she instructed to hang with a rope in her absence. Finding her responsible for intent, negligence, or reasonable conduct will be the difference between a first-degree, manslaughter, or not guilty verdict. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress. In ancient Athens, juries were typically made up of 500 citizens. For severe cases, such as murder, juries were comprised of 1,001 to 1,501 citizens. In such large juries, unanimity was unrealistic, so the guilt was decided by the majority. They cast their vote with ceramic discs to preserve the anonymity of each person's decision. Two states do not require unanimous criminal convictions. Florida isn't one of them.
As jurors continue day five of deliberations, Samantha Hall's supporters continue organizing around the courthouse. One sign reads, "Sex games do not equal sex crimes." Another says, "No judgment in her judgment."
Still no verdict in the Samantha Hall trial. Troy Singer's family has released the following statement. "We request privacy during this grievous time as we pray our fallen son, brother, uncle, and friend Troy receives a just verdict."
Tension is high as all eyes focus on the Orange County courthouse, where the Hall jury has still inexplicably not delivered a verdict 5 days into deliberation.
Back on day one, we did a secret ballot to ascertain where we were all standing. And we're getting close to crunch time here, and it's going to have to be unanimous, so secrecy doesn't seem necessary anymore.
Not anymore.
I'd love to go around the room, say where we all stand and what we would need to hear to be convinced to vote the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone changed their mind since that secret ballot?
No.
A little.
Yeah, me too.
Great. Can I start with you two, Steph or Mandy? What are you leaning towards now?
Honestly, I'm leaning towards manslaughter. I was undecided earlier, and then I was, you know, kind of torn in both directions as the evidence was presented, and I just keep going through the requirements for the different types of murder.
Sorry to interrupt. I appreciate the specificity of you saying manslaughter, but for the sake of finding common ground more quickly, let's stick to the terminology of guilty or not guilty. I think we might be able to come to a decision one step at a time.
Got it. Yeah.
So
then I guess that would be
guilty.
Are
you leaning towards guilty?
Yeah.
And you were not on day one, is that correct?
I was undecided, yeah.
Great. Thank you for saying that. Mandy, if you don't mind me putting it in such binary terms, would you mind saying if you're leaning towards guilty or not guilty?
I was not guilty day one, and a slight budge, but I'm much more just undecided now. I'm not firm in my footing of not guilty, but I also don't doubt her innocence. I don't think this was a premeditated murder. Again, I think it comes to what kind of guilt we might attach to this. Manslaughter doesn't seem totally out of the realm of possibility for me, but first-degree murder does.
Right.
Okay.
What would either of you need to hear to... So what would you need to hear to say, to think she was not guilty, Steph?
Not guilty. I think just really fleshing out whether or not this was Troy's decision ultimately it was his responsibility and it was his failure that resulted in his death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which again, you know, I don't deny that that's a valid argument.
I would say, I'll just go on the record that I don't think that not guilty is even an option for me at this point. Okay. I don't think there's anything that would convince me that she should walk free after this completely without any sort of punishment for this man's death, and to absolve her of any sort of influence in, mm-hmm. in his death. I just, mm-hmm. I don't think that I could sleep at night agreeing to that, even if it meant sitting in this room for a month. I don't think that I could go about living the rest of my life knowing that we didn't put any kind of responsibility on her for this poor man's death. That's just how I feel.
Janet or Dominic, where do you guys stand, and what would you need to hear to be convinced otherwise?
I'm in agreement with Carl still on this. I guilty day one, and I still think guilty where it falls. I don't know about first-degree murder, but I'm still on the guilty side of this.
Mm-hmm.
As Carl said, I don't think that I could walk away in sleep at night either, or face anybody I know or my family if I just let her go. I think she has to take some responsibility for this, absolutely.
I can't. I just picture a situation where someone after this, say that we made an agreement to vote not guilty, asking me, do you really think that she was not guilty? And I just cannot picture a situation in which I would say yes. And,
right.
and if I didn't, I'd be lying to them. And I don't want to have to lie to people for the rest of my life about this. I want to be able to be honest and say yes.
Right.
We saw enough evidence to show that this woman played a part in this man's death. We can debate how much of a part, but I really do feel like we all have to recognize that she played a part in it. She just did.
Totally agree.
Dominic.
I'm leaning towards guilty. For me, it comes down to the whole idea of culpable negligence. I've been saying this over and over mm-hmm. again, that I just can't buy that a woman who is an expert on ropes would leave a man with a 4-millimeter diameter rope hanging by himself without any sort of safeguards. And that's considered to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's negligence on her part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unless someone can present an argument otherwise, I'm for guilty. And I'll go on the record and say that I'm for manslaughter.
What about you, Mason?
The weight of the decision is really starting to sink in.
Yeah.
And it's making me very uncomfortable and sort of upset. It's upset my stomach, and guilty is such a strong word, and I can't.
Yeah.
I have so much trouble ascribing that word to someone who, maybe from a legal standpoint, fits that description, and that's our job is
but
to.
That's what we have to consider.
I know.
The legal description.
A man's dead.
Let him.
But
whether
is she
hurts or not.
Is she guilty? Has she done something wrong?
Mason, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Could you look at Troy's relatives and family and explain to them why you would vote not guilty? And explain to them why you felt Sam needed to walk away from this and not have responsibility for it?
At least some kind of responsibility.
Would you be able to do that?
Because it was his hands and his own actions, I would be embarrassed to do so, but I could do so because to put that burden on her seems to be stripping him of any free will that he had as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be shameful for me to look his family in their eyes and say, your son or your relative was helpless and had no brain and had no control over his own limbs, that he was brainwashed by somebody else. That seems harsher to me. That he was a robot operating under someone else's instructions.
But he sort of was.
No.
He was. That was the relationship.
He made all of his choices of his own volition. He was the one that reached out to her.
Mm-hmm.
He chose his life.
In a way, that's like saying that if a gambling addict goes to a casino, that it's entirely their fault and that the casino plays no part in it.
It's true. Does the casino is it guilty for existing?
Face legal repercussions. Yeah.
But the casinos have to put out those ads that say if you have a gambling problem, seek help, because they have been found to be at least in part responsible.
It's the same reason why you find the Surgeon General warning on a pack of cigarettes.
But they're also taught, casino dealers and people that work there are taught, if you recognize that someone here has a problem and they're not just playing for fun, don't let them gamble. Don't encourage their problem.
It's why a bartender cuts off.
It's why a bartender cuts off.
That's why Sam texted.
And I think that that's he sought her out, and I think he had a problem. You heard from the other dominatrix that he never said stop. I think that you can look at it as the same as a gambling addict or an alcoholic. I think he just was so in this, the responsibility would have been on her to say, I'm not going to take you to the edge of your own death.
The alcoholic analogy fails, though, because him never using a safe word doesn't imply what you're saying implies. It actually implies, in the alcohol analogy, his tolerance was so good. I kept serving him because he was handling his liquor fine. It doesn't mean he had a problem kept coming back for more. It means that I never observed him slurring his speech. I never observed him not being able to function. So I gave him another drink. That's the safe word analogy.
But you'd have to take it a step further, though, and say that, okay, he's asking for this this special booze with rattlesnake venom in it, and if he drinks it, he could die. And I'm going to give it to him anyway.
What bar are you at?
I'm just saying that the stakes were higher for this specific case because she was aware that if he did this wrong with this dangerous rope in this situation, he could die. So the stakes were higher. That's all I'm trying to get at.
I'm reading through some of the different requirements here, and I'm looking now at what is required when the defendant puts in a plea of not guilty, which she has, and it says, if the defendant has entered a plea of not guilty, this means you must presume or believe the defendant is innocent from the beginning. The presumption stays with the defendant as to each material allegation in the indictment through each stage of the trial, unless it has been overcome by the evidence to the exclusion of and beyond a reasonable doubt, and that the defendant's not required to present evidence to prove anything. So from the get-go, we are supposed to presume that she is innocent. Right.
Thank you so much for rereading that. Okay. That actually resonates even harder
really
with me
does.
Now.
It really does.
I know more about murder trials than I do about trends or fashion, so I'm tickled but delighted to be sponsored by Bauble Bar. I had fun shopping here. Bauble Bar is a fashion jewelry and accessory shopping site that encourages you to experiment. They have 1,000 styles and new arrivals every week. My favorite things about the site are it's all made in America, specifically New York City. You can actually speak to a live person if you need customer service, and I swear every year that passes I value a feature like this more and more. Free U.S. shipping and free returns. Boom. If you like staying on top of trends, this is definitely the site to check out. Go to bobblebar.com and get 20% off by using promo code DELIBERATIONS. That's BAUBLEBAR.com with code DELIBERATIONS. Back to the show.
She doesn't have to prove anything. So everything you're saying, like, yeah, it makes sense on a gut check level. I see totally where you're coming from, Carl, but you're coming from a biased point of view, and you're looking for things to prove what your prejudice has already told you that you're going to decide.
No, I think another part of it is, isn't part of being an adult or being a good person accepting responsibility in your life for things? She at no point seems to accept any responsibility for any of this. She made it seem like
you don't
it's
think
his
she
fault
feels
for,
the weight of this.
No, I don't. She, not, we never so saw.
That's not
we
a legal requirement. That's yeah. a moral requirement, and we're not debating whether or not she's moral. We're debating whether or not she is guilty of this action. It's a
her
very,
actions
I just, very
I just not think illegal. That, she tied a rope, and that is not, a,
not
an
illegal,
illegal action. Mm-mm. She texted someone. That is not an illegal action. She called the police. That is not an illegal action. Yeah. What did she do that is illegal?
She had an utter disregard for human life and safety of a person exposed. Culpable negligence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing yeah. that he would follow her instructions to the T, she left him in a room alone with a dangerous rope. No one there.
He did not follow her instructions to the T.
But here's the thing is that excusable homicide, which would mean not guilty, excusable homicide means the killing is committed by accident and misfortune.
Yeah. That sounds like this case, accident and misfortune.
It wasn't an accident. She was...
What was her motive, Carl? Give me one. Not the various
she
laundry
has
that
a
you
murder
saying.
Fantasy. What do they call it?
So the lust killing? Is that what you're buying the lust killing argument?
Entophilia, yes.
I thought
that's your one
water.
Motive that you choose as the most...
that she had a murder fantasy. Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Janet?
Yeah, I think in part, yes. I think it was the lust killing. That was the ultimate for her.
And
let's see if this will work.
Mandy,
he'll
I will
do it.
Say that when that came up in the courtroom, that started to sway me also. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really powerful, compelling piece of evidence or accusation. But so I get why that resonates with you guys. I don't have anything further to say. I just wanted to say that made sense to me at the time.
It was a compelling argument. I will give you that. But if someone has this you know, mental disorder where they want to see, and I shouldn't say mental disorder, I regret saying that, but if someone has a preference or a desire or a fantasy to get off on seeing someone else die, then she would be there. She had so many tools. She had
but
a
you
room.
Can't say
Stop,
that.
Carl. She had a room full of murder tools. And she didn't use them ever.
She can still live out the fantasy if she's not there. It was, you know, like the therapist said, just because they haven't encountered that yet when someone wasn't in the same room doesn't mean that it's outside the realm of possibility.
But that's where we get back to beyond a reasonable doubt.
Bingo.
I mean,
that's
I think
Carl, what it is for me in terms of why I can't do first degree is that there is reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
And this is an important safeguard. This is part of the justice system. And we can't just negate that if there is reasonable doubt, we cannot assign her first degree murder.
So
we can't do that.
You still doubt her motives?
Yes, I do.
I do. Yeah.
Reasonable doubt applies to any of these,
yeah,
second
exactly.
degree and manslaughter.
Because I don't believe the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that this was premeditative. I don't believe the state did that.
I don't think so either.
No. Mm-hmm.
Buying,
not a bit.
Buying the rope specifically for this when she knew it wasn't safe.
You don't know. It was
she said it wasn't
specifically
having him do it at home.
You have to. You don't believe her testimony?
I don't.
Here's what I think. I think that might be proof of negligence, but I don't think that that's proof of premeditation. And if you can present an argument based on the facts, not perception,
what would Jesus do? He would give her.
I honestly don't think that there's.
No.
I mean it. You were born again. Someone gave you a second chance. Someone believed you had good in you, even though you'd done horrible things.
I didn't ever tell anybody to throw up their dinner or choke themselves with a rope.
You used substances you shouldn't have used. I've done horrible things, and thank goodness people have given me the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, Janet, have you given your kids the benefit of the doubt when they did awful things? I mean, you told a story before about, like, one brought fireworks to school. That's stupid, but you gave him the benefit of the doubt for being stupid.
But they didn't tell their friend, light the firework and sit on it.
No, but this we've discussed numerous times mm-hmm. that this BDSM community is something that none of us
know.
We
don't understand it, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't necessarily know what this is getting us right now. So I think, like Mason said, the first thing we have to do before we get into the specifics of first degree, second degree, whatever, is we have to get to a point where we're all guilty.
We're not guilty.
Well, I mean, it seems like most of us are leaning guilty right now, so I'm highly suspicious.
Can we just throw it out on the table? Who's undecided? Who's voting not guilty? Let's just get that right out of the way so we can actually address it.
I thought we did. I think it's just me.
I don't know. After rereading Excusable Homicide, I'm not sure anymore.
Really? So would you put yourself in not guilty or undecided?
I'm going to go undecided right now.
Okay, so we have two undecided. So let me ask the both of you this. What would it take for you to vote for guilty?
Does anybody have
what it would take is literally for Troy to be alive and tell me that she did it on purpose.
What within the realm of reality?
Exactly.
Can we do in this room that would convince you to vote for guilty?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think there's a thing.
No responsibility at all.
So let's go through Excusable Homicide.
I might be able to sway to negligence, but nothing beyond that.
So let me ask Stephanie, I'll ask you the same question.
I guess if we can maybe rehash, I mean, the issue of her not being there,
what needs to be rehashed for you?
I don't know. I guess I just have to kind of reprocess everything that we've talked about.
Honestly, I think
what would also help is if we can rule out excusable homicide, and I think I can help with that.
I'm open to listening to you.
Number three, excusable homicide, misfortune resulting from sudden combat, right?
I think two and three are out.
So number two, accident, misfortune in the heat of passion. So we agree that's out. Mm-hmm. So then we look at number one, accident, misfortune, lawful, unlawful acts. But then look what it says at the end of that sentence, with usual, ordinary caution.
That's a good point. I think, as we've seen, think about
all of the testimony from the other dominatrix. Mm-hmm. Saying that she wouldn't do any of this, that Samantha liked to take things further.
Yeah,
I think that we can very fairly come to an agreement that she did not use usual, ordinary caution. She used extraordinary measures. And if we're looking at the letter of the law, I think that means that we can cross out number one. And if we cross that out, then we can't say it's an excusable homicide.
Agreed. I agree. Yeah. Totally.
Is there any disagreement on that?
No, I think, that's a really compelling argument.
Mandy?
I mean, her former dominatrix.
I will say, with the caveat, that my heart sinks a little because the BDSM community just unfortunately deals in a lot more extreme situations. I don't think she intended it to be this way, but I do think she should have been more careful.
Okay. So we found some common ground.
So that means now it's going to come down
what
to.
About Mason?
I was just gonna, I'm happy
also
to move on from now, but
well, no,
I
would like to hear what you have to say.
Usual and ordinary are relative to circumstances that are unique to the person, and I don't know if usual and ordinary. There were usual and ordinary to her life. She's done it countless times, and if a NASCAR driver wrecks his car for going 200 miles an hour, that's not usual or ordinary speed, but that's usual ordinary for
the 4-millimeter rope was not usual. In fact, it was dangerous, based on the expert testimony.
All the ropes she had were 6-millimeter or
she
larger.
She used a dangerous rope and left him alone.
And maybe we'd be having a different conversation if she had used the six millimeter hemp rope.
That might be something else, but that within itself, I can't excuse that. That's negligence. Especially when you consider the fact that, yes, they were in a consensual relationship, but she was the one who had the power.
I'll agree to that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll rule out excusable homicide.
Okay.
All right.
So finally, we're on the same page.
All right. Okay. Moving on.
Good job, Carl.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
That was the most sensible I think I've ever.
We still have a.
So Carl's not allowed to talk for the rest of the day.
At least I know that she's not going to walk away without any.
All right. Let's not be cheerleaders for her guilt, please. It's still a person's life that is in our hands,
exactly.
So let's just still be sensible and cool-headed, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what are we moving on to?
Should we start at the beginning? I mean, let's start at the beginning with what the state is charging her with, and the state is originally making their argument for first-degree murder.
So does that mean by extension, we all just agreed she's guilty?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That just occurred to me.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good so point, no. Mason.
Okay. Wow.
I can't believe we all missed that.
I can't. Yeah.
It really has...
I think I want to get home. I think that's just what's going
It has sudden impact.
Well, don't let that
in. No, you know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I didn't even roll. I'm just like... Yeah.
So now we're just essentially debating whether it's first degree, second degree, or manslaughter.
Should we take a vote and see where we all are at this moment?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
This is Chelsea speaking, and I've had a very good week. I got back from a short trip, and on my doorstep was a box from HelloFresh, the meal kit delivery service. My boyfriend is an amazing cook, and generally speaking, I have trouble frying an egg. It's actually a feat that I've been able to feed and keep myself alive for this long, so I relished the opportunity to turn the tables and finally cook for him without embarrassing myself. I chose the oven-roasted Mediterranean cauliflower and proceeded to make the best meal I've ever made. It was fast, simple, and really healthy. All the nutritional information was included, which was impressive because they employ 2 full-time registered dietitians who review each recipe to make sure they're nutritionally balanced. Every meal is made from the freshest ingredients and measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's no waste. And it's so affordable at less than $10 a meal. I really recommend trying them out. Now you can get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh by visiting HelloFresh.com and entering code DELIBERATIONS30. That's HelloFresh.com with code DELIBERATIONS30. I look forward to hearing what you think.
I would vote for manslaughter.
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 I still believe it's first degree, but I would be willing to consider second degree.
How about you, Janet?
I'm considering second degree.
Okay.
Would you consider manslaughter?
I'd look over. I would want to read everything over again, and yeah, I will. Okay. I will open it up.
So
and
then,
tell,
let's,
you know, well, give it to me.
Can I then say this? Since the majority seems to be manslaughter, so then Janet and Carl, what would it take for the both of you to vote for manslaughter?
I would say if you can, part of it is I'm not quite sure what the sentencing is. I'm very reticent to agree to manslaughter if it's going to be the kind of thing that would let her off with probation or something.
Okay, so you're basing your argument based just on the punishment?
No, that plays a part of it, but what I would say
is... But that can't play a part of it. It has to be based on the facts.
Okay, but then I would like to hear an argument from the rest of you for why it's manslaughter and not second degree, because the qualifications are very close, and I've heard you several times say negligence. And you know,
let's try to rule them out one at a time. Yeah. Then, like
yes,
we
okay.
did,
okay,
with right, excusable so homicide.
So let me
premeditated killing is the
grab my
the sticking point for first degree murder,
right?
Yeah, versus second.
So are
degree,
we?
Yeah.
We're all of us, including you, Carl. We don't agree with first degree murder. Then at this point,
I still have a belief that she did this in a very premeditated way. But I will agree that. It is very difficult to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt.
Reasonable doubt.
And
exactly.
because of the beyond a reasonable doubt, while I personally believe that she did it, I don't know if I could prove to all of you beyond any doubt. Okay. So I guess it's probably pointless to sit here and argue about it.
We have to follow the law, which says that if there's reasonable doubt, we can't
charge. As difficult as it might be for us.
So first-degree murder is out.
Yeah. Which really pains me because I really believe in my heart that she did this on purpose. I really, really do.
Do you think it's possible that you might be wrong?
Just from everything we've seen about her, and like, let me ask this to everybody: do you feel like she's capable? Let's not say that you believe that she did it and that they proved she did it, but this could help, I think, maybe inform the decision for second degree.
Sure,
versus,
Carl. Everyone is capable of murder.
But
I'm capable
her
of murder. You're capable of murder.
Do you feel
murder.
Like she's capable of killing him, based on what we know of her?
You mean like physically, like literally?
No, I mean, do you think she's capable of doing what they accuse her of? Whether she actually did it in this case. Do you think she's capable of that?
Is she capable of wanting him to die? Yeah.
You're talking about motive? Does she want him? Not that she's capable, but did she want him?
No, then? I'm saying capable of it.
Well, she was capable of it. She made rig and it happened. Yeah, so I don't know.
Because to me, that speaks to the depraved mind qualification of second degree.
Because she's able to do something that makes her
Carl,
depraved.
Carl, we're all capable of it. Are you a depraved mind because you're capable of killing
someone?
You have
two arms. You have two legs.
It's a very different...
You've never been angry at someone? You've never, in the heat of moment, when you're arguing here with Mandy, thought about...
No, I'm talking about her specifically capable of killing him in this situation. Not, am I capable of climbing Mount Everest?
No one's arguing her hand in this. We're all trying to get into her head.
That's why we all agreed on manslaughter.
What she
physically did is not up for debate. We're trying to make a pass judgment on her judgment and her will.
Because even if we can't prove that it's premeditated, I do feel like we have seen enough evidence and that she is capable of doing this to show that she had evil intent or ill will, or indifference to human life. I mean, this speaks to all of those things.
So then one second. So here's for the second qualification for second degree murder, that the death was caused by the criminal act of Samantha Hall.
Yes.
What was the criminal act? What exactly did she do that was illegal that led to this?
I'll reread that an act includes a series of related actions arising from and performed pursuant to a single design or purpose.
Right.
An act is imminently dangerous to another and demonstrating a depraved mind if it is an act or a series of acts that, one, a person of ordinary judgment would know is reasonably certain to kill or do serious bodily injury to another.
Can we stop right there?
Yep.
I think we can agree that that's true. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I don't agree.
You have to reasonably agree in that situation that it could kill someone or cause bodily harm.
I agree. Serious bodily injury, a bruise that she wants to see for weeks around his throat. I think that's serious bodily injury.
Yeah.
And the thinner rope.
But make more Mason, of an if you impression. Would continue reading those, because I think...
Okay, it has to fit all these criteria. And number two, is done from ill will, hatred, spite, or an evil intent. I don't think that holds
And
water.
I think there's reasonable doubt.
And that's where I feel there's reasonable doubt, yeah.
I don't think we can prove that she had ill will, hatred,
I don't think so either.
Evil intent.
And then thirdly, there's another one too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Which is almost moot if we can agree that number two doesn't hold water, because it has to be all three, but for the sake of being thorough. And number three is of such a nature that the act itself indicates an indifference to human life. In order to convict of second-degree murder, it is not necessary for the state to prove the defendant had an intent to cause death.
So, Carl, by your own admission, you said there is reasonable doubt in terms of the premeditation. So we can't prove if she had, or at least the state did not prove, in my opinion, that there was ill will, hatred, spite, or evil intent.
No, I think that if you look at the third qualification for second degree, it says it's not necessary for the state to prove the defendant had intent. So they don't have to prove that.
No. Not necessary to prove that the defendant had intent to cause death. Not that she didn't have intent, but that she did not have intent to cause death.
Right, and I'm agreeing to the fact that I think it would be hard for me to prove to all of you that she had intent specifically to kill him, although I do think there's more than enough, and I think Janet agrees with me on this, there's more than enough evidence that's shown that she had ill will or evil intent. I mean, she said...
Yeah.
She wanted his neck to be bruised. She wanted to see the blood in his lifeless eyes.
But it's not ill will.
And we have
to prove all three.
Thank you. We keep coming back to this notion of, again, this is foreign to me as well, and I am trying to have an open mind. And to you, yes, that may seem like ill will. But as far as we can tell, this was consensual. This is what he wanted. His mistress Carolyn talked about how Troy liked to be pushed to the edge, that he liked breath play. This is something that he enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I think you can reasonably assess that this was mutual.
Samantha Hall wasn't always a media darling or a media villain. She grew up in Apopka, Florida, where she attended public school. As a little girl, she wanted to be an artist and gave watercolor paintings to friends and family on their birthdays. An only child, she spent a lot of time indoors playing make-believe in her room and drawing in sketchbooks. Her parents encouraged her to explore a practical career path, so she pursued a degree in graphic design. Her relationships were either very serious or very light. They lasted at least 4 years or max out at 4 days. She once said she didn't know how to love in the middle. Samantha was good at remembering to send money to her grandmother, but poor at remembering to write letters. She didn't like therapy for herself, but always encouraged it for her friends. Regardless of her usual serious demeanor, she liked to laugh. Her favorite TV show was The Office. She told people her favorite book was Pride and Prejudice, but it was really Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. She religiously ate Kit Kats with her morning coffee. She scrapbooked. These are the details a jury never sees. Do they matter? Are they relevant? Would they change anybody's opinion? While the jury deliberates, Samantha waits at the local jail. Convicted or acquitted, this won't be her permanent home. There's a quote by William Faulkner on which she continues to reflect. And sure enough, waiting will end if you can just wait long enough. Next time, on the final episode of Deliberations.
The jury is back in the Samantha Hall murder trial.
How confident is the state? Miss Larity?
Mr. Cortez, have you spoken to Samantha?
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and launches as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast: Jury, Macklin McLaughlin, Sam Britton, Sierra Marks, Lindsay Rousseau, Adam El Sharkawi, and Alice Bowden. News: Steve Hirsch, Victoria Dunn, and Jessica McKay. Next week, the verdict will be delivered. See you then.